Morning.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy.
How's everybody doing today? It's been a great Sabbath, and I know that I've already been blessed. We had a great Sabbath school class with Nicholas, and I think it was a good introduction to what I'm going to talk about today. The subject of our study is confrontation. Before we get into the study, I want to ask you to bow your heads with me. Is the PowerPoint working already?
Yes.
It's up? Okay. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me as we invite God's presence one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, because of the blessings that you've given us today. All week, we need the blessings of this day. And so we ask, Lord, that you speak to us in a special way as we study your word. We ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on us and give us an understanding of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was, nobody likes confrontation, right? Who likes to have to confront somebody that you have a disagreement with? Nobody does, right? It's difficult to have to confront somebody. But it happened to me this way. I was in the eighth grade, and I've never been good with confrontation, and I was scheduled for a fight after school. And what happened was I was in gym class, and as usual, in gym class, there was always a group of kids that bullied some of the other kids around, right? And I happened to be one of those kids that received some of that bullying. And I don't know what got into me this day, but I guess I was feeling a little brave that day. And I came into the locker room, and one of these bullies pushed me and shoved me, and I did the unthinkable. You know what I did? I pushed him back. And now I was scheduled for a fight after school. And you know how that is when you're worried and stressed about something. It seemed like the hours were going by slowly, and my stomach was in a knot, and the end of school bell rang, and so I came out and I quickly found my place in the line going onto the bus to go home, and I sat there and my enemy was not there. There was no sign of him, and so I sat there, and I began to be hopeful because the line started to load onto the bus, and I said maybe I'm not going to have to confront my enemy today. And I was hopeful that I was going to get on that bus. And it was almost time for me to get on the bus. And there I saw my enemy coming with a group of kids. And he came up to me and he said, "Behind the school, meet me behind the school." And so there I was. And I remember the last kid that was in front of me loaded onto the bus. And the bus driver said, "Are you going to get on the bus?" And there I was faced with a choice. Should I get on the bus with everybody else, or should I stay behind and confront my enemy and fight? You know, the subject of our study today doesn't have to do with how to meet with bullies at school, because I'm not a good person to give advice on that. It's not about how to confront that person at work that gets on your nerves. The subject of our study today is about a spiritual confrontation, right? The Bible says that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? There's a spiritual warfare that's going on in the world. And sooner or later, it's easy to just say, "Oh, you know what? I'm okay. You're okay. Everything's okay. Let's just go on about our life." Or we can say, there's a spiritual battle going out there, and we need to confront this enemy. Sooner or later in our lives, we have to face this enemy. And we have to make a decision that, I'm not going to live like this world. I'm going to live a different way, and we're going to have to confront him. But the good thing is that we don't have to do it alone, right? If we try to confront him alone, we would be hopeless. Our first text here that I want you to look at here, it says 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And it says what? Resist him steadfast in the faith. We have to resist him. We can't just go along with it. We can't just go along with him. We have to resist him. In the next text, here in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God and do what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There is a battle that's going on in the world. And if we could see with spiritual eyesight, we could see the battle that's raging. And it's important for us to keep that in mind, because there is evil inside of us, but there's also evil out in the world. And that evil is trying to tempt people and lead people to live a life of sin. And by that life of sin, separate themselves from God. So let's look at this quote here. This is from The Great Controversy. It says, it is the grace that Christ implants in the soul which creates in man enmity against Satan. Without this converting grace and renewing power, man would continue the captive of Satan, a servant ever ready to do his bidding. But the new principle in the soul creates conflict where hitherto had been peace. So when we accept Jesus Christ and the grace of God comes into our life, now there's this enmity that's created between us and Satan. There's a struggle, there's a conflict. We can't just go along with whatever. There's a transformation that takes place. And go to the next slide. The power which Christ implants enables man to resist the tyrant and usurper. Whoever is seen to abhor sin instead of loving it, whoever resists and conquers those passions that held sway within, displays the operation of a principle wholly from above. When we resist the enemy, it shows that there's something going on in our life, right? Something supernatural, we can say, that God's grace has come into us and he is transforming our lives. So I want us to look at this subject, the subject of this conflict that's going on, this spiritual battle that's going on. And you know, it might seem like this is all just a myth, but if you look at the news and you see what's going on in the world, you see that it's not just something made up. This past week, I took care of a young girl, not too young, in her late 30s, and she was addicted to heroin. Started off with just taking pain medicine, taking Oxycontin, and then it progressed until she was taking street drugs, and I went to check on her. She was in there on some oxygen, so I just had to go in and check on her. And she had the track marks all over her. And she said, you know, I went for 31 days cold turkey, and I threw up the entire time. Withdrawals, terrible withdrawals, and her body was in pain and having seizures the whole time. Finally, she said, I had to go back to the drug. She's a terrible addiction to drug. And there she was, gone maybe 6 days without doing any heroin, and same situation. Her body in pain, throwing up. She showed me her bottom teeth, and they were perfect, white, and her top teeth were all corroded from throwing up and throwing up. So there is a battle going on, you know. We think about the stories in the Old Testament, and you know where it says that people were demon possessed, and we say, oh, that's just in the Bible, that's something of the past. But people today are still held captive by Satan, right? They're held in the chains of sin, and they're powerless to get out without the grace of God. So let's look at the next slide. It says here that we're going to look at who is the devil. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to look up this text, the rest of them, or we're going to look at another one, and then the rest will be on the slides. But I want you to look at this. There's two texts that tell us a lot about the origin of evil, and helps us to understand who this enemy is. And this is found in Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, and we're going to look at 14 and 15. And it says here, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the fiery stones. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. So this was the covering cherub. And what helps me to remember and kind of picture it is the Ark of the Covenant. When it was made, it had these two cherubs sculptures that were over the mercy seat. So Lucifer was this covering cherub, one of the covering cherub, a very powerful angel. And it says that iniquity was found in him. And so the origin of evil is in this fallen angel. Let's go to the next slide. It says, what does the devil want? Have you ever thought about it? What is it that he wants? This next text kind of helps us to understand that. Isaiah 14:12. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So what is it that he wants to do? What does it say there? He wants to, what? He wants to be like the Most High, right? He wants to exalt his throne above God. He wants to be worshipped. And as we study prophecy, we see that that's what the whole final conflict has to do with, right? Who are we going to worship? Are we going to worship the God of creation? Or are we going to worship the beast and receive his image? Okay, let's go ahead and go to the next one. It says, Satan summons all his forces and throws his whole power into the combat. Why is it that he meets with no great resistance? Why are the soldiers of Christ so sleepy and indifferent? And here's the reason. Because they have so little real connection with Christ. Because they are so destitute of his spirit. Those are strong words. When I read that, I was like, wow. Wow, we're asleep. We're indifferent. And you know, it says that Satan is throwing all his energy into this battle to try to destroy souls. And how can we be indifferent? We can't. We have to be awake. We have to have... And what is the source of our strength? It says right there, a connection, right? We have to have a real connection with Christ. And we have to have His Holy Spirit to be able to fight in this battle. Let's go to the next slide. It says, the devil's method of attack. How does the devil attack? Have you ever thought about that? How is he attacking people today all over the world? Let's look at the next slide. Mark 1:13 says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was tempted, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. So he uses temptation. Like this young, this girl that I met at the hospital. She was led into temptation, and then that separated her from God. And that's what he does to us every day. You know, we talk about the great conflict that's going to happen at the very end of time. This big struggle that's going to go at the very end of time. But that struggle has to go on. We have to meet those confrontations every day, right? Every day we decide who we're going to worship. Are we going to worship the God of creation? Are we going to surrender our lives to Him? Or are we going to worship the devil? You know, by every day we have to decide where we're going to give our life to, who we're going to give our life to. Let's go to the next slide. John 5:16. For this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. So the devil uses temptation, and then when he can't tempt you into sin, then he persecutes. And that's just a you know, that's something that's just part of being a Christian. That if you resist him and you resist his temptations, then he resorts to persecution. He did it to Jesus and he did it to the early apostles. Let's go to the next slide. 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, all that will live godly in Christ, what does it say? They shall suffer persecution. So it doesn't say that they might suffer persecution. It says that they will, right? They will. The devil's method of attack is temptation and persecution. That's how he attacks people. And so we have to understand this so that we can resist him. Let's go to the next slide. The same enmity is manifested towards Christ's followers as was manifested toward their master. Whoever sees the repulsive character of sin and in strength from above resists temptation will assuredly arouse the wrath of Satan and his subjects. Hatred for the pure principles of truth and reproach and persecution of his advocates will exist as long as sin and sinners remain. The followers of Christ and the servants of Satan cannot harmonize. Have you ever thought about that? You know, if we are with Christ, we can't. There's this conflict. You know, as long as this conflict goes on, there's always going to be this enmity that was prophesied in the we read it in the Sabbath school class, that the first prophecy there that said that there would be enmity between thee and the woman. Remember that prophecy, that there could be an enmity between Satan and those that are faithful to God. It's a promise. It's also a promise of the coming seed that would crush the serpent's head, but it also describes the enmity that would exist between God's people and the devil. You know, if you ever get a chance to read, there's a book that's called A Trip into the Supernatural. And this book was written by Roger Morneau. And in that book, he describes his, you know, he was raised, I believe, Catholic. And he had gotten to the point where he didn't want to have anything to do with God. And he became atheist. And then he started to get some associations with people that were involved in the occult. And he got involved in this and got very deep into it, almost to the point of initiation into the Satan worship community. And he said it's amazing because now that he's an Adventist, he said everything that we know about the end of time, they know it. But for them, it's in the reverse. They believe that in the end, in the great controversy, that Satan's going to win. But they know more about the truth than some Protestant religions. And he said it was amazing because they actually materialized to some of these people that are deep in the Satan worship. And you know, you think of these people that are involved in the Satan worship church, and you think of them as having these pentagrams and wearing black. But you know, he said it's the people that are really deep involved. They're business people. They're doctors. They're people that are professionals, right? They're professionals, and they're deeply involved in it. And he said some of the information that he got from these people is that the demons have learned how to control fire, and that they believe that they're going to be able to control the fire of God's consuming fire at the very end of time. So they have their own plan. They have this idea that in the end, they're going to win. And we know that's not true. We know that the only way to life is through Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring us through the coming judgments. If we're found in Christ, then we have salvation. And that's something that we talked about today in class, that we don't have to be afraid of the judgment, right? We don't have to be afraid, because perfect love casts out fear. And we saw that perfect love at the cross when he shed his blood for us. And we saw that in spite of our sins, he still loves us. And he's willing to accept as many to come to him today. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So how do we overcome? How can we overcome? You know, and this is something that I've thought about a lot. You know, how can the gospel help somebody? How can it change? How can somebody be brought out of the pit when they've sunken down, like this lady that was addicted to drugs? I think it begins with something that God has given us, the power of choice. How can we battle against the enemy? God has given us the power of choice. Let's look at the next slide. Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore do what? Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. You know, but someone might say, you know, well, you don't know my sins. You don't know how hard it is for me. I try to do what's right, but then some temptation comes and I fall right into it. I can't. I try, but I can't. I'm powerless to overcome. Is it true? I mean, yes, we're powerless to overcome because we have inherited sins that we inherited, and then we have sins that we've cultivated. It's like a little plant, and we keep watering it, and it grows, and it gets stronger as we get older, and it gets stronger. So we have hereditary and we have cultivated sins, and they grab hold of us, and they have such a strong hold on us, but it seems that we can't overcome. And we can't overcome, but we can do something else. We can choose to serve Him. Can we? We can choose to serve Him. Let's look at the next slide. It says here, you desire to give yourself, this is from Steps to Christ. And she says, you desire to give yourself to Him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections. But you can do what? You can choose to serve Him. You can give to Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. So we might not be able to overcome. We cannot overcome, but we can choose to serve Him. And as we take that step forward to choose to serve Him, then God works a miracle of transformation in our lives. So the first thing that God has given us is He's given us the power of choice, and nobody can take that away from us. The devil can't take that away from us. And the next thing that God has given us is He's given us the power of the Word. Let's look at the text here. It says, now when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But He answered, it is written. He answered, it is written, right? Man shall not live by bread alone. And in Matthew 4:34 it says, the next one? I think it's in, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is, God has given it to us to help us in this conflict against the enemy. Just like Jesus, when He was met with the temptations of the enemy, He said, it is written. He quoted scripture, and that's what helped Him through all these difficulties. Have you ever thought, why do we need the Word of God? You know, why? You know, I'm a Christian. I gave my life to Him. I accept Jesus. Why is reading scripture so important? I already believe it. I already gave myself to it. Why is it that we need to continually refresh our mind with the Word of God? You know, it's amazing to me. And you know, I'm not the kind of person to get in. I never get into politics. I don't know anything about not very much about politics. But the other day I was sitting in the, it was a while back, and I was sitting in the break room, and I was watching the news. There's a TV in there, and it was on CNN. And I heard the president say that, you know, we need to support our neighbors, homosexual neighbors, and help them so that they can be able to be married, to have marriage and that kind of stuff. And I thought to myself, you know, how far have we gone that we've forgotten what right and wrong is? You know, it's just amazing because you know, it's not just him. You know, it's human nature. It's my nature that, you know, well, you know, it's okay to, it's okay for a man to lose his temper every now and then. I'm just human, right? You know, we start bending what right and wrong is, right? Or we say, you know, it's okay, I'm a guy, to look at a girl, you know? We start bending it, right? We say, it's okay now and then. But what does the Word of God say? Well, Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's already transgressed the law, right? So the Word of God keeps us online. It's like it keeps us in that straight and narrow path. That's why we have to read the Word of God. That's why the power of the Word helps us in the battle against evil. Because it helps us to, you know, when we start getting confused about what right and wrong is, we can turn to Exodus 20 and we can read the law of God. And there it tells us what right and wrong. And if that's not clear enough, we can read in other places like Galatians, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And it talks about the lust of the flesh. All these things like fornication, hatred, jealousies, all these things. It says that's the work of the flesh. So the Word of God makes it as clear as possible. In 1 John it says that all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is of the world and it's passing away. So we have all these places in the Word of God that help us to see what is right and wrong. Because, you know, we don't do any good by telling people, you know what, it's okay. It's okay for you to fornicate. It's okay for you to do whatever you do. It's normal. We don't help the homosexual by telling him that, you know what, it's okay. It's okay for you to be a homosexual. But if we show him from the Word, look, the Bible says that it's wrong, but you know what? The Word of God gives strength to overcome our weaknesses. It gives us power, and so we can help those people that are struggling with those issues, you know? And, I mean, if you read I think it was in Corinthians, where Paul is talking about the Christians, he said, some of you guys were fornicators, some of you were adulterers, some of you were homosexuals, but God has saved you. He's brought you out of that. You know, so there's hope in the Word, you know, for all people. For whatever sin you're struggling with, there's hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we don't help anybody by saying, you know what, it's okay. It's all right. It doesn't help anything. And so that's why we need the power of the Word in our battle against evil. So we have the power of choice, we have the power of the Word, and we have something else, the power of prayer. So let's look at the next slide there. It says Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need the power of the Word. We need the power of prayer to stay connected to God. We have to make that connection. Let's go to the next slide. It says, Satan well knows that all whom he can lead to neglect prayer and the searching of the Scriptures will be overcome by his attacks. How does he know that he can overcome us? How does he overcome us? By getting us to neglect, right? Neglect the study of the Scriptures and neglect prayer. Therefore, he invents every possible device to engross the mind. We get just busy with life, and we get too busy to spend time reading the Word. We get too busy to pray, and that's what he invents. Anything possible, he'll invent anything, just as possible. Anything that will make it where we cannot connect with God, because that's the victory that we have. That's truly the only way that we can have victory over the enemy, is to stay connected with God. As we're connected to Christ, that's how we're going to be victorious in the battle against evil. Let's go to the next slide. You know, Jesus, he didn't get on the bus with everybody, right? He came down to this world, and he came, and the Bible says that after he was baptized, the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. Can you imagine that? The Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. And there it says that he fasted for 40 days to the point that he was almost going to die. And throughout that whole time he was tempted. So, you know, when we're faced with different temptations, I want you to think about that. You know, he was there. And he did it for us. That's why he went through that struggle. Before he could go on with his ministry, he had to make it clear to the enemy that he wasn't going to serve him, that he was going to have victory over all the inclinations of this sinful body. And Ellen White says that he had to fast to the point of very death, because that's how strong a hold sin has on us. So don't think that Jesus doesn't know what you're going through when you think, I can't overcome. I can't overcome my sins. I can't overcome my bad temper. I can't overcome my lustful thoughts. I can't overcome these jealousies, or I can't overcome all this. But think about Jesus. He fasted to the point of death so that he could break the bonds that sin has us tied with. And he did it for us. And so the victory that he had, we can have as well. Look at what it says here in, I think this is in the Great Controversy. It says, Satan assailed Christ with his fiercest and most subtle temptations, but he was repulsed in every conflict. Those battles were fought on our behalf. Those victories make it possible for us to conquer. Christ will give strength to all who seek it. No man without his own consent can be overcome by Satan. The tempter has no power to control the will or to force the soul to sin. He may distress, but he cannot contaminate. He can cause agony, but not defilement. The fact that Christ has conquered should inspire his followers with courage to fight manfully the battle against sin and Satan. Isn't that a wonderful call to us? To fight manfully the battle against sin and Satan. You know, it's easy to say that we're fighting against something out there, but, you know, the battle against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. And the devil is constantly trying. He knows our weaknesses, and he's constantly trying to tempt us into sin. You know, as I was waiting there in line, I wasn't sure what to do, but I decided to stay. And I wish I could tell you that I really gave it to him and I beat him up, but I don't think I won. But you know what? Nobody ever messed with me again. Nobody ever bullied me. Nobody ever picked on me. So, you know, that's how it is with our struggle against the enemy. Sometimes we fall and we make mistakes and we give in to some of the things that he tempts us with. But we don't have to stay on the ground. We can keep fighting. We can say that we're going to resist him and we're going to be steadfast in the faith. Is that your desire? To resist him in the name of Jesus and be steadfast in the faith? I want to invite you to stand with me as we close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, because through your word you expose this spiritual battle that's going on. And we don't have to be afraid because we know that our lives are safe in you. But as we know that there is this warfare going on, we can pray more. We can spend more time in your word. We can pray for our families because we know the devil is trying to find his way into our families, into our church, to our government, into all parts of life. And he puts all his energy into this battle. Lord, we want to put all our energies also into this battle because it's a battle for souls, for the salvation of souls, people that are held captive to their sins. Unless we overcome our own sins and see how the gospel can change our own lives, how can we share anything with anybody else? But Lord, we thank you because you've showed us the way through your word and you give us guidance. And Lord, this morning we choose you. We don't have the power to overcome, but we choose to serve you. And we thank you for the power of your word, and we thank you for the power of prayer. I ask that your blessing will be with each person here. Continue to bless us on this holy day, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.